Back here on Darren and Donick. Gang is all here. Jack Daniels Barrel House. Good to have David Poyle stop by. What did you guys make of some of the things that came out of that? Anything in particular? By the way, Richard Deitch coming up at noon, and also Gary Smith from Nashville SC in the third hour as well. We had a big announcement this morning at 9 o'clock here on the station, so we'll get into that at 12:30. Anything jump out at you guys?
Here's what jumped out at me, and I will give my plug to my broadcaster blog on NashvillePredators.com, which includes the interview we had yesterday, Darren, with C-Mace, talking about this. So you can go to NashvillePredators.com. You can hear the interview and read my writings. But my theme is pretty simple. And you heard David Poyle say, I hadn't talked to David Poyle about this, but my theme is for this game, this is the chance for both the Jets and Predators to size each other up. This is the last time they play before the trade deadline, which is February 25th. They will meet again twice in March, both in Winnipeg. Regardless of who wins the Central and who finishes second, right now the gap is such that it would be a surprise if they didn't finish 1-2. Anything can happen, as we know. But if barring a rash of injuries or something unforeseen, somebody's going to win it, somebody's going to finish second, and they are going to have to go through one another. You heard him say that. He said it's hard to imagine you avoid the Jets if you're going to make a long playoff run because you got to go through them in the second round. So how do you match up with them? I think that's a big question. He's got to envision, if I have everybody, which is still, you're missing Kyle Turris, who's a very important piece to the team, how do I match up with the Jets? And then, to me, the other question is, what if the Jets make a big move and you don't make a move? So how does that affect what you do? I think you have to be visualizing this whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, do you have anything? Because I've got one.
I think it was just obviously he's very open-minded. He certainly hasn't made up his mind at this point. He's very curious what happens tonight, and he wants to see what else happens before the deadline, but also who's out there and what the price may be. So I didn't come away one way or the other that he's either leaning strongly of staying pat or leaning strongly that he needs to make a move.
You know what jumped out at me? He said, it's a distinct possibility that Dante Fabbro could join the team after his collegiate season.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you read the tea leaves, I think from Fabbro, I think that is, with him not saying it, me trying to read between the lines, he really wanted to play one more college season.
Well, Willie, we talked to him at Centennial this year.
And
going into
he just kept saying, I want to play here, I want to play here, but the time isn't right. I think what they can dangle, now this is the trick, because there have been elite college defensemen, college players, that have jumped right in and made a contribution in a playoff run. Is he that good? We'll have to wait and see. We wondered about if Tolvanen was that guy last year. He wasn't the guy.
We saw some college guys jump right in the mix. Well, actually, the last couple of years, you had Greenway in Minnesota, McAvoy. But we've seen some of these guys just jump right
Chris
in.
Chris Kreider did it a few years ago
and
scored some big goals. Yeah.
Now, okay, so let's go on that notion. Let's say, okay, he's done at Boston U, and he joins his team. He signs. Okay, great, right? That's everybody's okay, where are you putting him? Who's out? What do you do then?
At that point, it's past the trade deadline, so you can expand the roster. You don't have to lose anybody. He just becomes another option that you can
okay,
use.
Okay, that's fine.
But to
I
me,
get it.
He would
so
be on your third
You still
pick.
Only have three pairings on the pick. Ice, though.
Who's out? I get it.
To so me, you would try him. You would try him on the third pair to see does he upgrade your third pair.
With Dan?
With Dan Hamhuis, no question.
Yannick Weber's looks pretty good. Looks pretty comfortable.
I think he's been very, very steady. I think you're saying to yourself, is this a guy that – you heard David Poyle use the team. Anybody that's new to the team, does he improve your team? If he doesn't, he doesn't, but he still would be another option that you have. If you had a rash of injuries, he would figure in there, and you have a few weeks before the, in theory, depending on how deep Boston University goes in the tournament.
If they go deep, what kind of time frame are we looking at?
Not much. Not much. If they go deep.
If they go to the Frozen Four, it's like
that's
a week or maybe
very
not
late
even.
March,
late
early
March.
March.
So yeah, that's at the end
so
of the
you might even
season.
Only have a handful of games in that scenario.
But it's critically important, if this were to play out, it's critically important to have him play in some of these games end of the year, right?
So
where their final road trip is in Buffalo. You have Vancouver and Chicago here to finish off the season. Like at some point, Because you can't just throw him out there in the playoffs.
Oh, no.
Because some guys respond.
Some teams have.
And some guys, they're not ready for that spot yet.
No, and that's what is really hard. There have been some teams that it might sometimes be out of desperation. They just don't have anybody else. And you try to catch lightning in a bottle. They didn't end up doing that with Tolvanen. But they did have three games to try him out and say, okay, he's not there yet. Let's go with plan A. But remember this, too. You are wanting to get this done now with Favreau. You don't want it to go into the senior year where he's looking at potentially he could become a free agent, right? He could do the VC. But if you say, hey, you'll join our NHL roster and you'll have a chance to jump onto a team that has a chance to win this thing.
Let me give you the last.
Time to sign. Join us. Your spot's right here. Here's your locker. Here's your jersey. You are in the NHL.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to tell you, read you this, because I think it's important. Because if you remember, Ellie Tolvin, in one of the games, he played three regular season games, was in Tampa against the Lightning. It's like, wow, you're ready to throw this kid in that spot? Their final 10 games, which is in the middle of March, all the way to the end of the regular season, which is April 6th. Listen to their final 10 games. In Northern California against the Sharks, here against the Leafs, here against the Penguins, in Winnipeg, in Minnesota, in Pittsburgh, Blue Jackets here, in Buffalo, Vancouver, and Chicago. Look, if you want to get a little gauge on what you have, some of those games.
Uh-huh. Welcome to the fire.
If you want to see how hot it is out on the ice and what the fire feels like, you know, throw him against. They have two games against the Penguins. Throw him in Winnipeg against the Jets.
Yeah, here's a guy named Crosby.
Throw him against the Leafs. If you want to find out what you have, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Sure. And by the way, maybe that's good for everybody because last year, the way things finished, the last few games didn't mean a whole lot. It wasn't against, you know, great, great teams there. And they didn't start the playoffs with the same level of fire we saw at points during the end of the season. You finish the regular season like that, you better be clicking on all cylinders by the time game one of the playoffs shows up.
And what will be happening there? It's hard to see the Jets or the Predators separating that far from one another. You could be in a dogfight for one and two. How valuable is that extra home game versus being healthy versus playing well at the end? You know, the resting guys who might be sort of banged up. All of those things could come into play. But going back to Favreau, I think that is something though. They really want to get him here. And even if he doesn't end up playing that much, it would be an extremely valuable experience for him to jump in and start his professional career, even if it doesn't stay, you know, and never play a game in the minor leagues.
Well, the main thing is
almost
to have
everybody
him signed.
Has to go to Milwaukee. They got to get him signed.
That's the main.
Got to get him signed.
Okay, because everybody is going to be like, Jimmy Vesey. Yeah. We all remember, right? Because the main thing is just get him signed.
But remember, the reason he answered like that was Steve's question was, "What about your depth?" Right, and so he's looking at it as just a guy that would add to your depth because there are situations where on a playoff run you lose three guys, at least for a period of time, four guys. You got to have guys who can step in there.
He didn't give the numbers there, but I believe last year he said the average they found out for teams who made it to at least the conference final in usage was 9 defensemen, and I think it was 17 forwards or 18 forwards to go through to get there. That was the average of what they did. Obviously, the Preds destroyed that in the forward number a couple of years ago. So they want to be at that number, and that's what he's talking about when he looks at that depth.
By the way, Pontus Aberg, I brought up the early trades, traded to Minnesota.
Yeah, Paul Fenton.
How does Minnesota know anything about Pontus Aberg? Oh, Paul Fenton, yeah. By the way, Aberg would
By the way, you want to make a trade? Call Anaheim. They're in the mood to trade.
He's their leading scorer, isn't
he?
I mean, he's been playing on the first line for most of the season.
Been a healthy scratch lately, though.
I know.
As they've hit hard times,
times. There's been some stuff going on, I think, behind the scenes.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Hour number three next on 102.5 The Game.